You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are back after our soccer Women's Day special. We are finally back. There's just so much going on in segment number one. We're talking about U.S. soccer. We're talking about MLS NYCFC against DC United in an absolute stunner. And we're also talking about Donald Trump going to a soccer game with the Cooligans. Oh, how kind of him to join us.
Yeah, in second segment, man, we talked to Paul Tenorio over at 442.com. He's the Chicago beat writer for the Chicago Fire, not the TV show on NBC. Why do they name it the same as the team? It's very hard to Google. He tells us a lot about what's going on there. Does he think they're making the playoffs? If you guys are Chicago Fire fans, you're not going to be happy with his results.
In segment number three, in Cooligan's Corner, we announced the winner of the On the Volley Apparel Contest. So exciting. So make sure you listen to that. Hope Solo has been suspended, her contract terminated. She does not want to go into work, regardless if she's fired or not. Nacho DeJong is gone. And El Salvador, are they involved in a match fixing scandal or just some guy who's like, hey, can you just
take some guap?
Yeah, just
it's a bonus. He's a
little, yeah, put a little change in your pocket. You'll be fine. All this and more
on this episode of the Cooligan's.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
That's right, it's the Cooligans.
Yeah.
What up, everybody?
What's up, guys?
Oh, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Cooligans.
Oh, my goodness. We're excited. We're happy. We're exhausted.
We are very tired.
There's been no rest for the Cooligans.
For those of you who've been following us on any social media or our Facebook pages or just know us personally, know that the Donald Trump video has taken over our lives.
It has. Donald Trump has ruined our lives.
As so many people can say.
Yeah, and soon he will be ruining yours. We all know,
unless you watch the video that we put it, which case he'll be enlightening you.
A little preview of what to expect from a Trump presidency. Thank you for listening, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans, your favorite comedian to host a soccer podcast.
That's right. Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
That's right. It's out of context. That's very strange.
No, that's right in there. Oh, that's all up in your context. There's been a lot of stuff going on, right? There's a international break, MLS plowing right through it.
Yeah, international what? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You can take a break if you want. We MLS, baby. We're gonna keep going.
I'm too busy in the middle of soccer games with a third of my players.
We Sully up in this bitch. Like we gonna land this in the water if we have to. MLS, just plowing right ahead, playing some games. Kind of happy they did though, because I think you and I were a witness to what I would say, outside of the home opener of the inaugural season, probably the most exciting NYCFC game. Well, I know we're going to talk about that in the coming moments, but great, so I'm kind of happy they're playing. But some of the players that weren't at that NYCFC match that played for the U.S.,
there weren't any U.S. players that were that were gone.
I'm saying some of them that don't play for NYCFC that are on that secondary squad
in MLS. Yes, right. Correct.
So they were with a United States men's national team playing against the soccer powerhouse.
The soccer power, ranked what, 155th, something like that.
Not bad.
Pretty dangerous squad.
Yeah, St. Grenadines.
I think there's 156 countries.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Yeah, you stepped on my joke, but whatever.
What did you say?
I was going to say that they're 155th, but I think out of like 156. So that's pretty dangerous.
Great joke. I'm glad we revisited that.
It would have been better at the time.
Yeah. You had to be there, man.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines against the USA. And they played, the US was playing away in I don't know if they were playing in St. Vincent or in the Grenadines.
I think they mentioned during the broadcast that not all the Grenadines are part of this country, of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Okay.
Some of them are Grenada, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of Grenada.
I have.
So I guess these small group of islands were like, nah, playa. We join in St. Vincent.
Okay.
And so now they played at a cricket pitch.
That's right. Yeah. It was
very odd to see them play in a big, big round, sort of stadium,
mm-hmm.
or area is what it more looked like. But You know, the pitch looked fine. I know down the middle was a bit hectic over closer to the midway mark, but
I mean, it basically looked like the pitcher's mound at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Know? Not, I mean, which they don't play over, so I will give them some credit. But it was fine, and you know, we beat them. What was it? 6-0 was the final.
6-0.
I mean, you know,
it's a game you're supposed to win.
This is the thing that bothers me. So many of these announcers are acting like this is the greatest win in U.S. men's national team history. I mean, so one of the big names that finally got called up again, and I will say finally because I think he's had a great season in MLS, Sasha Kljestan.
Sasha Kljestan of the New York Red Bulls. Finally getting called back up. I mean, he has a couple caps.
Yeah, back when he was with Anderlecht, he would get called up a lot.
And I guess he's felt a little neglected by Jurgen. And, you know, he made a name for himself. Obviously, he got into the game. I think they were already up 3 or 4-0.
Yeah, the game was over. And, you know, he comes out here and scores a brace and everyone's flipping. I mean, are we that impressed?
I mean, look, it doesn't
You're
hurt.
Playing against, like, you know, accountants and bus drivers. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
If he came in against Cooligans FC and got 2 goals, would you be that shocked?
I'd be pretty impressed that he was even on the pitch with us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're most impressed that he even went out there. He was like, isn't there a mercy rule at some point?
But yeah, look, he scored two goals and also got 2 assists. His 2 assists were to Christian Pulisic. And also Pulisic got into the match and also got 2 goals and 2 assists to the person who, you know, he got the original assist from.
Yeah, they assisted each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's like a weird version of a sexual 69. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I was going to say a black and white cookie, but you went there.
You know, but it's good. You know, yeah. It's like a reversed, you know, kind
it's
of.
It's a little something. We got to, what did you have for breakfast, Christian?
Look, I'm supportive of, you know, whatever, however they want to score with
however
each other.
It's just getting liquid out of your body, baby. Do it any way you want. But it wasn't adults.
It was impressive. It was impressive.
I will say that Christian Pulisic's 2 goals and 2 assists were more impressive to me. He did score 2, if I'm not mistaken.
He did score 2, yes.
So that's more impressive to me because, you know, he's young and there's pressure there.
Look confident. It was good goals. Good goals, yeah.
And they were impressive goals. That, to me, came across as more impressive. Like, Sasha Kljestan scoring 2 goals and 2 assists, I'm like, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah. The guy's like 20-something years old, you know? Pulisic is out there. What is he? He's going back in age. He's 13 now. 17.
Yeah.
Guy's a kid.
He is a child.
You know, he's playing against men. That's impressive.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right.
I got a bigger question. Where was Landon Donovan?
You know what? I don't want to even Sasha Kljestan. Yeah, he has like, you know, we go to the New York Derby and
right.
and it's interesting how to handle that sort of emotion because it's sort of the first time I've ever felt like, oh, there's a player on the men's national team that at club level, I'm like, I don't want him to do well.
Right.
And I'm
right.
just generally not supportive of his career or any choice he makes. Right. But when I watch him on the men's national team, I'm like, there's that subsides. You let that go.
Right. And it goes back to the old adage of love the badge, not the player, you know, mm-hmm. the badge on the front, not the name on the back. Although the men's national team doesn't use names anymore. Mm-hmm. They still
no, they have
use
their
it. Yeah. They put their names back on. That's right. The Wondolowski had the extra W a while ago, but, yeah. You know, I didn't feel conflicted in any way, shape, or form. I will say though, if like Yedlin had like caught on at Tottenham, watching him play would annoy me. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
But being that it's the Red Bulls, you know what I mean? And you know, I sort of know. I see him all the time playing. You know what I mean? It's not like a big shock when you see him where, like, you know, we don't get a chance to see the Premier League as much as we'd like. You know, it's not always on the news and it's not everything all over the place. You know, I feel like MLS or some of that stuff, maybe, you know what I mean? We get a little bit more into it because, you know, we're around it more. So it's not as much of a shock. I knew he was going.
Okay.
There you go. You know?
Well, I believe the U.S. is playing against who next? I don't remember who they're playing, but they're
Trinidad and Tobago, Soccer Warriors.
And if they win that game, they are out of the hex, and they'd be at the top of the group, and
they'd be in the hexagonal.
Aren't they already? No, this is not the hexagonal. Yeah, they're going to go into it, and
this is so confusing.
Yeah,
yeah, this is very confusing. But we're already qualified to go in the hexagonal, but we would just guarantee that we finish at the top of the group on the way into the hexagonal. But now everyone seems to think that we would be better off losing to Trinidad and Tobago. because of how that would affect everyone else, and you know.
Okay. Well, like
Canada and El Salvador.
I guess
and all
the,
that.
The biggest takeaways were obviously the biggest takeaways were the goals from you know those two players from Pulisic and Kleschen. Just because they don't really get they don't get to start. They're not either or they're not playing very often. So that's it's a good sign. And I don't know if maybe for Kleschen it's a puts him in good graces with Jurgen. It'd be interesting if they brought him back for more qualifiers. Yeah. And
You're right. If he played badly, it would be much more news than if he didn't play really well, which he did play really well.
Exactly. So on to...
Do you think he deserves? Actually, that's a great question. Do you think he deserves more call-ups?
Given the MLS season he's having, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You can't take it away. He's what, like the assist leader, I believe, in the MLS. And he's just... He's just a rock. The Red Bulls wouldn't be where they are. Look, early on in the season, they were having some struggles. Bradley Wright Phillips wasn't putting any away.
Yeah, that's right.
And Kleschen was probably the most stable player.
Yeah, Kleschen and Grella have been their sort of biggest players.
Yeah, if McCarty didn't get hurt,
yeah,
I think they would be a little bit more stable than but look, even since McCarty's been hurt, they
seem to be fine.
They seem to be getting victories. They're in second place in the East, 1 point behind NYCFC.
Yeah.
So speaking of MLS, what a weekend. Obviously, international break. We don't have to pay attention to all the European garbage.
A couple people scored against a couple people. We get it, bro.
Yeah. But man, MLS was what a week.
It's been exciting. I mean, just that NYCFC match. I mean, it was hard to focus on the game.
It was because we were at Yankee Stadium watching the game, and obviously we were preoccupied. We were working on the Trump video.
Yeah. So we brought. We brought Donald Trump with us to the game, basically. We brought Donald Trump. I mean, there's really no else.
I mean, there's nothing funny. So, I mean, it's a Donald Trump impersonator, but right. He is a comedian.
Very funny comedian. J.L. Covan.
J.L. Covan. So funny. He does one of the best Trump impressions in the world. I mean, without a doubt. So funny.
And I mean, it's one thing to do it on camera when, you know, you could do take after take after take.
Yeah.
This dude spent the entire match.
Yeah.
And then a long time afterwards... As and in the character of, and answered questions on the fly.
He's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, for sure.
As Trump.
Yeah, real Meisner. Real Meisner.
It was surreal. He was Trump not just when the camera was on. He was Trump for every single soccer fan that approached him that wanted to take a photo.
And there was such a weird mix of people who were enjoying it and people who were just mad. Someone threw a bottle at us.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, you know, we said it, and I don't know if it made the video, but we said in the video that, you know, and first of all, I don't think it matters what your political leaning is. I mean, it's soccer, you know, but yeah, we brought him for a specific reason. We knew it would be funny and we wanted to make a video, you know, and I don't care if you like him or if you don't, that's fine. We both kind of don't agree. I think we can be pretty open about that. I know we don't talk politics on this podcast, but we don't agree with almost anything he says.
we're literally two Hispanic people. It'd be crazy if we did agree.
I mean, even when he says hello, I'm like, I'm not sure if he means it, you know? But, you know, and I know Hispanic people that don't care if Mexicans are allowed in the country or not. There's a lot of them. But anyway, long story short, and you side with whoever you want. I don't care. I can talk to you. If you're a good person, I can talk to you. But there were people that were like laughing about it, like, oh, this is funny.
Yes.
And then there was a few people who yelled at him as if he was really Trump.
It was like, this is my opportunity to tell Trump, to give Trump a piece of my mind.
Here's all those things that I've been holding in.
Oh my God. It was just like this pent up aggression, and just seeing him and it's clearly not him. Right.
Yeah, it's so obviously
it's so obviously not him. Right. But they use this time to be like, this is my only shot to finally let him know. And that's the look. There were some people who were playing along and having a good time with it.
Right.
But there were some people who were legitimately upset.
Yeah. Furious. Oh, finally, he's here. Now I can talk to him about that damn wall.
It was so crazy. And that's like, you know, and it really says a lot about sort of like the political arena right now about how severely divisive it is.
Yes, 100%.
Look, we're in New York, and obviously Trump is not, there's not going to be, you know, we see Trump stickers, you know, from time to time.
Sure.
But for the majority, no one likes
him. Yeah, there's some Trump supporters here, but, you know, being a Republican in New York is like being a Democrat in Mobile, Alabama. Doesn't bother them.
But I think the thing that
surprised... You're not going to make a dent, you know?
The thing that surprised me was like the... I thought... more people would be apathetic. That's really what I thought. I was just like, oh, it would be like, oh, funny, I don't care, whatever, just ignore him. But no, there were people.
I think you forget how much drinking goes on at these sporting events.
We're at a soccer game, yeah.
I mean, there was one dude who I know is Mexican, and he was doing like air sort of masturbation, and then throwing it.
Yes. I mean, that is a common political tactic.
Yeah, very well.
I've seen it at several of the presidential debates.
All over the RNC, especially if you were on Craigslist during the RNC. And you happen to be a male escort. But it was just amazing at like, just like the immediate vitriol anger, like the immediate, just looking at him
and it's
your brain makes the connection. Yeah, that's it's a Trump
instinctive
impersonator, yeah. But you're like, that's Trump. I see Trump. Here's how I would react if I saw Trump.
That's right. Yeah. And then it's like this blind rage. Yeah. Of like, it's like the Kill Bill red screen. Yeah. They just go, yeah. I'm going to let them know. Yeah.
And it's like nothing else matters. People were putting their children down. It was the one guy next to us said that his kid was an anchor baby, if that's okay. Like people wanted to move away from us. It was hilarious.
Oh my God. It was so great. One of the best moments, like in
you got to watch the video.
Yeah. You got to watch the video. Go to soccercooligans.com. Go to our YouTube. Just watch it. It's so funny. But it for me, it was definitively one of those, like, look, we've been doing the Cooligans a little over a year, and it felt like that. Like we were building up to this important thing,
yeah.
You know, like it really felt like, oh, this is all the time we've spent, doing the podcast, doing the videos and all these, like increasing our knowledge of the game, interviewing writers, all these things. And it felt like it was leading to this moment of like something really, really spectacular. It was so fun. And that was definitely the main thing. It was so fun.
Oh my God.
Then on top of that, the game was unbelievable.
Was ridiculously exciting. And the funny thing is like, out of character, JL was like, hey, this is a really fun game. You know, it was like a fun match to watch because mm-hmm. there was so much going back and forth. And it's so funny how he played it off. Is like, you're lucky I was here.
Yeah.
This was probably the most exciting game. And he has a little bit of background in soccer. Like, he knows a little bit about the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He played. So it was just one of those back and forth matches where I think you could hear the crowd's confidence. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you didn't see the match, NYCFC against DC United, NYCFC 3-2. It was just, for the most part, first half kind of slow.
Yeah.
The game itself didn't sound it just didn't have a good like feeling. It felt a little too it felt not dull. Dull's not the word that it felt like. It was a little bit more like they needed this win. They were in second place. They Toronto had been playing well. They won their game. So NYCFC wanted to get back in first. And in that first half, they didn't look like they wanted.
It looked like it wasn't going to be their match.
Exactly.
You know, and it was one of those things where like, oh man, you know, I know they play better on the road than they do home, but they've sort of had some like, you know, weird results lately. You want them to sort of come out and have all this energy.
Yeah, they lost last week to Orlando.
Yeah,
which again, they probably should have at least gotten a point.
At least a draw, mm-hmm. for sure.
So
there was a lot of things working against them, but I don't know what happened at halftime, man.
Yeah, because
was it Steven Mendoza coming in for?
That was a big change.
Was it McNamara?
At halftime, it was 1-0. There was a goal by Lloyd Sam, which was, it just seemed like RJ Allen didn't track back fast enough, or just maybe forgot how fast Lloyd Sam was.
And having a former Red Bull score against you, it seemed a little karma-ish.
Yeah, but it was like a great through ball, and they got the goal, so it seemed very deflating, right?
Right.
And then in the second half, I mean, look, the last 15 minutes of this match were just psychotic.
Right. And I know we try to stay away from only talking about NYCFC, but this was the most exciting match.
By far,
the week. So, you know, one of the things that really surprised me was 5 minutes of stoppage time. Everyone in the stands really believed that sort of the official was on their side. You know, mm-hmm. 5 minutes of stoppage time, and then all of a sudden they score in stoppage time, right?
Yeah,
and they draw, and we're like, oh God.
Well, yes, yeah. DC scores.
Yeah, DC scores. Draws equal. You know, and they get the equalizer on another set piece. By the way, it's just frustrating, and it's like, here we go, and then Frank Lampard would not have it.
Yeah.
And I got to give a lot of credit. Kyrie Shelton, who we have panned left and right who we've called soft on this podcast, who we like. We like him very well, but we didn't think he was playing up to snuff.
Yeah, neither did Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, and then he comes in, he cuts that wacky-ass hairdo. He just straight looks like a Dominican dude ordering a chopped cheese, okay? I like it.
Yeah, I was like, why is my cousin on the field?
Oye, papo.
Hey, hey.
Que lo que? Que afuera?
El diablo. Yeah.
So, you got your homie out there texting. He's wearing sandals. Are you playing in sandals,
player? Kyrie, yeah. He was responsible for the two goals. He was responsible for that victory.
Two assists. Yeah, he's integral. And let me tell you something. One of the most shocking things, forget the two assists. Forget the fact that he actually took players on, which was shocking. He fought for that first assist of his.
Yes.
He fought for the ball. He would never have done that in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it was interesting because Kyrie also doesn't, he's fast and he's athletic and that's, you know.
Big guy, yeah.
So these are his strengths. But when he came into the match, it's odd because he doesn't really look like he's sort of like the Usain Bolt. Where, you know, when during the Olympics, Usain Bolt was like running and then smiled, right? Because
it
looks effortless.
Like, and Kyle Larin is another one of those guys him and Mesut Ozil, they both look like they're not even trying.
They're not, that's okay.
And you're like, you get angry until something happens. You're like, oh, that's right, they're geniuses.
And that's the thing. Kyrie looks, he doesn't look like he's running that fast.
No.
But it just seems like everyone else looks
like he's running on his tippy toes. You're like, man up a little bit here.
But you only notice he's fast because the other people are slower.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's,
you don't really notice visibly like he's like trying hard. But if you were probably on the pitch right next to him, you're like, oh my God, this dude is fast, as fast as hell.
It's like a race car, you know, like on TV, they don't look like they're going that fast.
Exactly.
You ever go see it in person, they swim by you and you're like, oh my God.
But yeah, look, it's a clear, you know, result of like Patrick Vieira saying, look, you're not working hard enough in training. I'm not seeing the progress that I want to see. You're not going to play. He didn't play for like a month.
No. And you know what? A lot of players get that. A lot of players are told, here's what you're not doing. And not everybody goes out and works on it and then actually can, you know, execute that during the match and have it be the reason we win.
Exactly.
I mean, look, Frank Lampard with the stop and, you know, the stop and pop, if you will. Great. Amazing. You know, and we're all very happy about, you know, we're all very, very excited about Lampard and, you know, no one's booing him anymore. He's a savior of the team. Fine.
Yeah. He is a hero now. Yeah, has he not swayed you?
I mean, we get it. You know, we get where he's at, you know. And
I think it's so great. How great of a story is that?
He was
literally being booed early on this season. And now, I mean, look, I watched his game winning goal. I mean, I think I've already seen it like 40, 50 times. It's just to me, it's such a great moment. And I also have footage of us celebrating that goal.
Right.
Right. I have my GoPro and everything. And it's literally one of the most just insane moments. And that roller coaster of a game, right? They're down 1-0 at halftime. Then, I think it was like 75th or nearly the 80th minute.
Right. Villa gets almost a gimme goal, which is great.
Which is a back pass from DC United's Sean Franklin. Which, who doesn't see? I mean, I get Villa is like, they call him Aguá. He's a kid. He's little. But he's wearing a bright blue shirt.
Blue all over. You know, also, he's pointed the other way from everyone else. It was just a weak pass back to the keeper. And Villa pounced on it.
Oh my God.
You know, it's funny. Like, in the last few weeks, we've seen Villa miss some of these shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say anything about him, he's still incredible. And, you know, everyone has the ability to go through a small rough patch in the middle of the season. He's a hero. So whatever he does, we're fine with.
Yeah. Right now he's tied for the golden boot with BWP with Bradley Phillips. So,
and dude, I mean, he puts that thing in the back of the net. We're all excited, and then they come back on. You know, they score against us. We score back again, right?
No. We score. We win.
Lampard scored afterwards. Oh, like, oh my God, we're winning this game. We're good.
The Shelton, he didn't give up on the play. Passed it in to Villa, which I think I believe that would have been a penalty. He did get fouled in the box, but the ball, I think the ref gave advantage, let the play go on, and Lampard.
This is the play, if you guys have seen the highlight, where David Villa gets the ball, and he sort of is trying to move it forward. It, like, you know, Lampard is running towards the goal across David Villa's chest, but Villa loses the ball in his feet. The pass was a little, the assist was a little too hard, which I'll give, you know, Shelton all the credit for. He's falling on the floor.
Yeah,
when he
yeah.
makes that pass. So he's trying to push the ball ahead, but he sort of gets pushed down.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ball trickles.
Right to Lampard.
Right to Lampard. Lampard one times it right into the back of the net.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. That was insane. And then the second goal, which after that, so now we're up 2-1, and then they score and stop.
Lamar Nagel on a corner, which
header
is
a header in.
Federico Bravo just like it seemed like Lamar Nagel was 9 feet tall.
I think Bravo actually hoisted him onto his shoulders. The problem.
Like, helps him
I got
out a little.
You, baby. We're playing chicken. What's going on over here?
He was like, "Yeah, Bravo, can I get a boost?"
Yeah, I got you, player. So you know, I gotta give those guys all the credit, because in the stands we felt like this match is over. It's a draw.
So deflating.
5 minutes of extra time. They scored, I think, in the first minute and a half after extra time.
Yeah.
Of stoppage time, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, we saw it as Shelton with this incredible pass. I had never seen a pass like that since RJ Allen's pass.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it had deflected
against
off of
against the Portland Timbers. Yeah.
yeah. And but it did deflect off of the defender, mm-hmm. and sort of trickled literally right into Frank Lampard's
the
way.
The most perfect pass. Yeah.
And instead of trying to force it around the keeper, he just sort of fake kicks and just sends it back across his body to the left. And then there's all this real estate, all this open net. And it was just incredible. And
Bill Hamid, I mean, he got cut up. I mean, they just got crossed over.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. People were talking about like, oh, you know, Bill Hamid, you know, national team, blah, 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 blah. Not player.
Nah, man. He look, I don't think that loss is his fault. Cause he did make some okay saves, but I mean, you have to.
He still took two to the face, though.
You have to give all the credit for, especially that goal, to Lampard. Lampard, you know, how much pressure is he dealing with? He's already only 4 goals back from the Golden Boot.
Yeah,
which is so crazy.
That's wild. Out most of the season.
He had nine goals in like 10 matches.
He should win the Golden Shoulder and the Golden Thigh because he scored so many goals off of those things.
That would be a great bust.
Yeah. Why don't we? There was a couple other scores, right?
Yes, there were. Oh, one thing I did want to mention about the game. After the game, I did see Bill Hamid in a car driving away from Yankee Stadium.
Did you really?
Yeah, I saw. I mean, it must have been three. It was 3 DC United players. But I only saw Bill Hamid in the back seat, just angry looking.
Not looking
at
happy.
It was just such a great moment. I enjoyed it. Also, Dallas against Portland. Dallas, FC Dallas. We talked about both of these teams at length. We've had days for both of them.
Yeah.
But FC Dallas just solidified themselves. I mean, it really looks like they're going to take
their supporter shield.
Yeah. So FC Dallas beat Portland 3-1. And really looked dominant. It was
strong. And strong win at home, you know. They're a tough team to beat, especially at this time of the season.
Well, even without Castillo, you would think they would, be flustered at a little bit.
They seem to be
bit.
Doing just fine.
Oh, they do, you know, everybody. Mauro Diaz, they look so poised. And they just, it's so much young talent that, honestly, I don't know who's going to beat them in the West.
No. So, I mean, that's impressive. I think another match was the, Chicago winning 3-0
against
Montreal.
No, against Philadelphia.
Sorry, against Union. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Let me tell you something. Chicago, they've got a long way to go, but I think they have a shot at the playoffs right now.
There's a possibility. They're literally tied. They're in ninth place.
Well, let me say this. We don't know anything about the Chicago Fire.
We do not.
We know a little bit, but you know who knows more than us?
I do know.
There's a gentleman by the name of Paul Tenorio.
Paul Tenorio is great. We always share his work. He's a writer for 442.
Absolutely.
Beat writer for the Chicago Fire.
Not the show on NBC, which every time you Google Chicago Fire, you find out, oh, good, a season 5. why do I care? Oh, I'm trying to look for soccer information. I'm like, why did I Google this again?
Yeah, that is a little odd. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. How is that allowed?
Why is that? Yeah.
MLS isn't suing the crap out of NBC right now. Why don't we do this? Not the show, but the team or the club. Why don't we come back after this? We got a message from our sponsor.
I was about to say sponsor.
Yeah, we got a sponsor. We got a sponsor. Why don't we come back after this? A little message from our sponsor. Hey, please buy this stuff. They're actually paying us, which is really cool. This is the first one that's paying us, but they want to see some sales. So if you love the Cooligans, this message about to come up, take down all the information and please buy. So why don't we do this? Why don't we cut out of here? We'll take a little break. And then when we come back, we got Paul Tenorio on the phone. Hey, everybody. This is Alexis from the Cooligans. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Mack Weldon. Now, these guys are pretty cool. They've given a promo code for our fans. If you use the word Cooligans and on MackWeldon.com, that's MackWeldon, you guys are going to get 20% off. Now, some of you are asking, what is Mack Weldon? I asked the same thing. I've heard of it. I've never actually gotten a chance to use it. We got a pair of the underwear. It is, they say it's the most comfortable underwear. They are not lying. It is the single most comfortable thing I've ever put on my body in that region. It is absolutely incredible. It feels like you're being hugged gently by like a really fat guy, but like a clean fat guy, someone who just got out of the shower. It's absolutely incredible. Everyone's like, I want my nether regions hugged by a clean fat guy. Well, this is the underwear to put on. Let me tell you something. They have like this netting so that you, it breathes down there. Whatever the material is made out of, by the way, is supposed to be like non-stinky, right? Like it can't smell. And I said, you know what? If anyone could beat this thing, if anyone could break it, it's me. I wore this thing for over 36 hours. And let me tell you something. I took them off. It was sweaty. It was stinky outside. It was still hot. I took them and I threw them at my wife. And I said, smell those. And she immediately said no. And I get why she would say no. I usually smell down there. But I said, listen, this is supposed to not smell. Tell me if it's true because I'm going to smell them and I can't tell. So she smelled them and she said they are not smelly. She goes, and in fact, her exact quote was, I know what you smell like down there. And these don't smell like you've ever worn them. She's like, these are amazing. Do they make them for women? That is an actual quote from my wife, who, if we've been married for 10 years, she knows what I smell like. All right. And let me tell you something. These are absolutely incredible. I don't know what they're made out of. I think the mirror station is made out of these. Really, really comfortable. I got a pair of sweatpants. You can buy more than just underwear. Go to MackWeldon.com. www.MackWeldon.com. Use the code word Cooligans, and that's going to get you 20% off. And go buy yourself these single most comfortable underwear that you will ever buy anywhere. They're the perfect length. It's comfortable even around your body. You got to try them. They're absolutely amazing. They got more than just underwear, but go get the underwear first and go get anything else you want after that. And what you want to do is use Cooligans as your promo code and you'll get 20% off on MackWeldon.com. All right, baby, we're back.
We are.
Yeah, so this is the second segment. We teased it a little bit, but here we are. We're talking about the Chicago Fire.
And you always get mad at me. I'm like a little cautious about saying the word, the name of this city, because you always make fun of me for how
you said it again, and I actually didn't want to say anything before our mics turned on. I was like, he's doing it again. You have this cute little Dominican boy way of saying
it. So I say Chicago Fire.
No, you don't. You said it differently. When you say it fast, you say Chicago.
The Chicago Fire.
Yeah, there it is. Guys. There it is. You say it like you're dancing in gator boots.
I get very self-conscious, but you know, I said I embrace it. That's
Do you?
This is how we say it. Chicago, guys. Let's go back to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. You say it like you're an extra in West Side Story. But why don't we do this? Why don't we talk to someone who probably knows how to pronounce his city correctly?
Imagine he doesn't. That'd be really embarrassing.
Yeah, that'd be even better. Well, on the phone with us is not just a reporter for 442, but he's someone who writes about the Chicago Fire. So who better to tell us about the team and how to pronounce it than put your hands together, unless you're driving, for Paul Tenorio, everybody.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, well, it just makes me think of the fact that my mom always calls it Chipotle. You want to go to Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Hey, Mom, you can't say it like that. That's not how it's pronounced here.
Yeah. What is that, Italian, your last name?
No, she's like, I don't know what she's trying to do. She's Tenorio's Costa Rican. My mom is actually Italian, but she works in the Hispanic community. She speaks more Spanish in her life than English, and now she, you know, she's convinced that she's Latina, even though she's a gringa.
Yeah, and, I know a few of those.
Everything like it's a, you know, if it's a Spanish word, is she saying it the right way, no matter if it's Chipotle or anything else?
Yeah.
That's very funny. I think that there's something with the word Chicago that my Spanish speaking brain can't like disassociate it quick enough. So
because
I just,
in Spanish it is Chicago.
Yeah.
But you're saying it, you start off in Spanish and end in English.
Well, maybe we can just, you can just stop bullying me about
that
it.
That could be it. Am I speech shaming you? I'm so sorry. You're gonna have to write a blog about it on salon.com. But speaking of the Chicago Fire, kind of a crazy season so far. I mean, you were sort of written off, especially after how terrible last season ended, or just went. You know, you guys were sort of written off. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how sort of the season is going now. There's a slight, very slight chance you guys might maybe make the playoff. You're certainly making a push for it.
Yeah, it's been an interesting project to watch unfold here in Chicago. I think that the expectations were and are high, because anytime you bring in a new regime, you want to see success right away. But that didn't happen, and I think it was a little unrealistic to ask for it to happen. But as they've added more pieces over the course of the season, you're starting to see things come together a little bit better, and especially in the last few weeks with the 3-0 win over Montreal, a 2-2 draw with LA that probably should have been a fire win, and then this last 3-0 win against Philly, and that, you know, with that 6-2 kind of anomaly of a loss to DC, which we'll just gloss over and pretend it didn't happen.
Nice.
to what the team's trying to do. But I think when you look at the way they've played in the last few weeks, outside of that loss to DC, which there were, you know, I think other circumstances that factored into that loss, you know, guys like Michael Deleu, Luis Solignac, have changed the team and changed the way the team plays, and you're starting to see more of an idea of how this Fire team wants to look, how it's going to look, and how they want to play, and it has gotten them to a point where now maybe you can start to talk playoffs without sounding totally crazy.
Now, you mentioned Michael Deleu and Solignac. Now, I saw a highlight recently of Solignac scoring either a game winner or a goal at the end. People seem to really be sort of, you know, I could see the city falling for this guy. And you know, he seems to be someone that the city is really, or at least the fans are really liking. Tell me a little bit about Michael Deleu, because, you know, he sort of was under the radar as far as the signing as we're concerned. We really didn't see a lot about it. Comes from FC Groningen. You know, forward, but I guess more of a playmaker, maybe? Or is he more of a forward?
No, he's a forward. I think his most comfortable role is definitely in a shadow striker role, as he would, you know, as he would probably prefer to call it. He likes to play underneath a partner, which is why he's worked so well with Solignac. And yeah, I mean, in some senses, you could consider him a kind of more of a playmaking forward. He moves off of other guys' runs, but he's the type of finisher who is going to be the kind of right spot at the right time type of guy. He's not going to beat you with pace. He's not going to hit those crazy 25, 30-yard shots all the time. But he is just terrible to have to defend, because he makes those last-second dashing runs into the near post. He always seems to be in the right spot at the right time. And I think right now for the Fire, he has to be a little bit more of a playmaker as well, because they don't have that yet in the midfield. But I think what you'll see out of him as he grows with this team and as they add some pieces is that he's going to be a guy who can score in a high rate, especially in the box, cleaning things up.
One guy that I was curious about, just sort of his influence on the team, Razvan Kocis. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Kocis, yeah.
Kocis. So he...
Great name.
I saw him play. I know NYCFC played the Chicago Fire the first match of the season, and I was incredibly impressed, because he reminds me of, Nacho Piatti a little bit. Like, he just seems to be like a player that's like, to me, a little bit under the radar, but always like in the right position, always making sort of the correct pass. And he's a little, you know, sort of shifty and like similar to like Pirlo, where you just don't know exactly what his next move is going to be. So what is his influence on the Fire?
My goodness, you're going to have to be his agent if you look at him like Piatti, man. I think Kocis has been a really valuable player for a long time. He's a guy who played in the Romanian national team, so he's got a lot of experience at the highest levels of the game, and you know, maybe slowing down a little bit more as he gets older. But you're right, he's very dependable in the sense of understanding, most importantly probably understanding his role. At times they've asked him to sit in deeper and be a number six. At times they've asked him to be more of the box to box guys, and he knows where he has to be and what he has to do based on that tactical assignment. I think the frustration maybe at some points this year has been they need somebody who's going to be more of a distributor, who's going to be able to step higher up the field and find that killer pass. And I think that's where his game lacks a little bit. You know, he's just not that player. He would pair really well with somebody like that and be a complementary type player. And I think that's the problem, is right now on this Fire roster in central midfield, there's a lot of players who are complementary to that type of playmaker, and they just don't have the playmaker yet.
Yeah, and if you notice, I mean, you have such, I mean, the, especially for, you know, those of us who saw, I mean, a slightly different team in the first game of season against NYCFC. But one of the things that we were watching was, you know, just David Akram just making these diagonal runs and these long pacey runs super fast.
I mean, he's one of the fastest players in the league.
Yeah, I mean, why, what, you know, why, what are we doing, Chicago Fire? That's your play every time.
No doubt. That was, that's the way they played all of last year. David is just insane. He's crazy. When you see him get on the ball in space, the things that he can do one-on-one with defenders, the how quickly he can get from point A to point B with the ball on his foot, I think is what really sets him apart. And a lot of what the Fire does goes through him. You look at the way that they set things up tactically, and it is with an eye on transition soccer, trying to find a common space. And I think that you know, that changes a little bit with Solignac and Dulu now. They are capable of playing a little bit more of the buildup. But those two guys, they know that David is the person that makes everything go. They understand that if they can find him in space, it's going to lead to more goals and assists for them. And so a lot of what even they do on the forward line is based around getting him in space. And, you know, he's a guy that the Fire are trying to lock up right now to a long-term contract. He's under team control for the next two seasons, this year, one more guaranteed year next year, and then a team option. But they would like to extend him through 2020, and they're in negotiations right now to do so.
Yeah, because he did he turn down a deal, or did the Chicago Fire turn down a deal from Ligue 1 club Nantes, which is obviously where, you know, what's his name?
Alejandro Bedoya.
Bedoya, that's where he just came from. Awesome jerseys. I love the color scheme. You know, that's usually, and, you know, we've talked about this on this podcast before with other beat writers for other clubs. It's usually a big deal when a club wants, I mean, that's great money. You know, obviously that works in favor of your cap. You get some of that money back. Tell us about that deal and how that didn't go through, because we just assumed he was gone.
Yeah, no, I think it didn't work at first because the first couple offers weren't even close to their asking price. Eventually, they got up to, from what I was told in my reporting, was around $3 million, more than $3 million. But again, they felt like his value is higher than that, is more than that to them. I'm not sure what the number would be that would have made it, you know, go through. I think it's an interesting timing, right, for David Akam and his representation. It's pretty good timing because if you have the team you're negotiating with say, we're not going to take $3.2 million or $3.5 million for this player, then when you're sitting in contract talks, you say, okay, well, how much do you think he's worth, right?
Right, yeah. Well, if he's not worth 3.2, then he's got to be worth at least, what, 3.8, 3.9?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that becomes the conversation at the negotiating table, so... no, I think that, you know, look, the Fire understand also in the position they're in right now to sell David Akam in the end of the European window with no possibility of bringing in reinforcements would be a very difficult sell to the fan base, even with as much money as they're bringing in. If Akam, he's with the Ghanaian national team now and started the other night in their African Cup of Nations qualifier, if he continues to play with the national team and start to get some caps to help his credit, which is what prevented him from moving to England last offseason, you know, his value is only going to go up. I think they understand that.
Do you think that Chicago Fire have a legitimate chance of keeping him if this is the case? I mean, you know, Africa Cup of Nations is every year, so they, you know, a lot of African players tend to get looks, you know, a lot of fringe players because of African Cup of Nations. It's every single, you know, it's always happening. But I mean, he seems to be someone who's clearly on Ghana's radar.
No doubt. I think for right now, they feel they can keep him. I do think they will get offers every window as long as he keeps making international appearances and as long as he keeps scoring goals. That being said, if you sell him in January at a time when your window is open and you can go sign two or three designated players, it's a much easier sell in market than if you sell him in, you know, August and there's no one coming for the next 4 or 5 months and you already have two open DP spots and you're already selling on, we've got to get this right. I think it could be a tactical play, but I do think that there will be speculation around where Akam ends up for the next two or three transfer windows.
All right, so let's talk about the players that that we are comfortable, keeping on the roster, right? So we were talking about Jack Harrison, and Jack Harrison plays for NYCFC, but he was originally selected by the Chicago Fire. And
he's got a picture with their scarf, right?
Yeah, it wasn't photoshopped. It was a real selection. But Jack Harrison ended up in NYCFC, and Brandon Vincent was also an MLS All-Star, big deal. Obviously, he's playing well. But is there any? I mean, I guess frankly, is there
seller's remorse?
Yeah. Is there any real regret over seeing Jack Harrison with some MLS Goals of the Week and some highlights and just how well he's playing? Is there any regret for letting him go?
Especially in our market, it came across as though you really didn't let him go. You were sort of your hands were forced to sell or to trade.
Yeah, no, I think that look, it's always easy to go back and with hindsight say this trade is better. At the time, I feel like they believed that by getting some allocation money and swapping picks that they were helping themselves. Anyone who watches MLS and looks at these players says, Harrison is probably the better prospect. He's played incredibly well. MLS is coming out with his 24 under 24. He's going to be near the top of that list. I took part in the voting of that and I had him near the top of my list. So, yeah.
Who beat him on your list? Can we ask that? Can we get a Cooligans exclusive? Who beat him on your list? Because I'm really interested. Yeah. You can just say one player unless no one beat him.
No. I had Kyle Larin above him.
Fair.
And I had Will Trapp above. Those are the two guys I had above him on the list.
Okay, well, interview over.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never, anyone whose last name I can turn into Trap Lord real quickly, I like. But Kyle Larin is another one who, God, I wish he was American. What? That guy could find the back of the net without even trying. But back to the Jack Harrison trade. You're sort of looking back. Do you think he would be able to slot in? Because we play him on the wing here in New York. Do you think he would be that central playmaker? Because there's been a lot of questions with the fans here in New York on whether he can be sort of a central playmaker, which we really don't need him to be with the amount of talent we have in the club in that position already. Do you think he would have played that role in Chicago if sort of you can go back and make that change?
Yeah, I think he could have been tried in that role. I think he also, once they traded Igboh Anike earlier this year to D.C., he could have fit in on that right wing. I think that's another spot they'll be looking to add a player. He's a very talented attacking player. He's got that idea in the final third, but he's not here. And now the key for them is to develop Brandon Vincent. They have to get him playing at a consistently high level. I know he was an All-Star, but, he's still a player who has a long way to go. He's shown some bright spots. It's just not consistent enough yet for me. And that's okay. He's a rookie. Not every rookie is going to be a superstar from day one. Not every rookie is going to be as impactful as Jack Harrison or Jordan Morris from the off. I just think that, they have it's very hard to find quality left backs. And if they can develop and grow Vincent, it probably takes that scale of comparing Jack and Brandon, and it makes it a little bit more even.
Now, moving forward, let's just say this summer, Akam is traded or sold.
You mean this winter?
I'm sorry. Yeah, this winter. Mm-hmm. This winter window, he's gone. What type of players do you think? And then let's assume that the Chicago Fire don't make the playoffs. And I want to talk about the playoff push right after this. But let's assume they don't, right? So now we're in the offseason. David Akam is gone. You guys got a big amount of money for him. What positions are immediately needed? And do you want to stay? Because maybe you don't necessarily park the bus, but you kind of play sort of that, tight defensive line and then spring the attack on the counter. Do you want to stay in that position? Do you think that's the future of this? And if you do, what type of positions do you think need to be filled, or at least need to be focused on in this next off season?
No, I don't think that's the goal of the way the Fire wants to play long term, right? They need players that can possess the ball, though. So that's the biggest thing on the shopping list for me, is one to two central midfielders who are guys that find the ball, actively seek and find the ball to dictate the pace of play. And I know that the two guys that have been reported to be high on their list as DP signings, the guys they're looking for to talk to are two guys who can do that. Schweinsteiger, who has proven himself over a very illustrious career overseas, obviously internationally and at the club level, Bastian Schweinsteiger, and Andres Guardado, who is another player who a little bit younger than Schweinsteiger, a little bit more of a connection probably, not probably, definitely to the large Mexican fan base here in Chicago, would probably cost just as much. So those are the two guys that I think would be very intriguing signings for Chicago, but also that's an idea of the type of player that they need to look for. Guys who can be box-to-box guys, who are leaders, who have a lot of experience, and who can keep them from being a counterattacking team, that can be on the ball type of guys. If they lose a Com, they need a forward too. And that's another DP type signing you need. If you're going to lose a guy like a Com and what he does on the field, you need to go find somebody at that position. And it's probably going to cost you around $1 million a year.
Yeah. How many DP slots does Chicago Fire have? And also, does Schweinsteiger hate not wearing red? I mean, it seems like in his career, he's only worn red. What the hell's going on with that guy?
No, I think they have two DP spots. So they have some areas to fix. I think it would be tough to sign both those types of guys, but you've got some money to work with, and they've got some targeted allocation and general allocation money to work with as well. So right now, two open DP spots, probably room for one more targeted allocation money player. And now you're looking at a more quality roster if you can add that, because then you would have three TAM players on the team in Kapelhoff, DeLu, and the one you're bringing in, and then you'd have three DPs with a Com and the two guys that you'd add.
Cool.
Well, what you mentioned Andres Guardado. I think I read somewhere that Guardado that Chicago has, I guess, the rights to Guardado, but I think he
Discovery rights.
Yeah, the Discovery rights. Yeah.
But he's like,
where did you discover him?
I wonder where. But I thought he was going to sign with Atlanta United.
Well, as you know, in MLS, I mean, a team that is on another discovery list, you can always work out a deal with the team whose list he is on. So if Atlanta wanted to sign Guardado, they would have to send money over to Chicago. It could be the base, which is the minimum of $50,000. It could be more. But I think, you know, the whole purpose of this is to avoid being in a negotiating war with two MLS teams. The league wants to try to prevent that from happening. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because obviously Arthur Blank has some really, really deep pockets down in Atlanta. And if they feel like they have a chance at signing him, it's going to cost some money, not just with his salary, but he's still got 2 years left on his deal at PSV. So there's going to be a transfer fee involved as well.
So, I mean, speaking of Atlanta, they're making a lot of news lately for the sheer amount of fans that have signed up for season tickets, which, you know, fan support in Atlanta have never gone together in any sport. They seem to be the most fickle fan base, I think, in all of, the U.S. But they're obviously doing something right with the amount of fans, which brings me to, the Chicago Fire. You guys won, what was it? There was an award for the highest ranking fan experience in Chicago sports. But obviously, being as far outside of the city as you are, there's a few hurdles there to draw some fans. You know, can you just tell us about how that's been changing? Maybe some of the things that, you know, does it affect the team at all? Does it affect the club? Does it, you know, what's happening there to change that?
Yeah, I think that the stadium has a huge impact on the club. The location of it, the lease that they had arranged when they built the stadium with the city of Bridgeview is it locks them in for the next 20 years. And the arrangement of how that money, the profits from the stadium goes and where the team can play, all of those things has an impact on the team, especially, as you said, because it's so far outside of the city. You have to drive to get there. The team has done a lot of things to try to bring in the millennials that we know make this league work, which is why now you look at the first soccer-specific stadiums that were built, Columbus, Dallas, Chicago, they were built outside of the city. And you look at the ones that have been the most successful, Portland, Seattle, Orlando, that are more centrally driven to the city, allow the younger people to come. Sporting Kansas City, another great example of that. It's a difference in philosophy that MLS recognized over the course of its existence. So what they do is they have these pub-to-pitch buses that they go, they pick you up from affiliate bars, and they drive you to the game and bring you back. You know, I've always said, you know, since I moved here this past year, when looking at the situation, maybe it'd be worth trying to invest some money to extending the L train from Midway Airport one more stop out to the stadium. I don't know how possible that would be with the government, but, you know, it's definitely something that I think the Fire, you know, the location of the stadium and how to get people to the games is always a focus of any team. And I think the biggest key to getting fans in your stadium is winning games. And that's what they've got to start with.
I mean, that's you know, I think that's true for across the board. Even some of the teams we were talking to, someone over at FC Dallas, and they sort of said almost the exact same thing you said, which is, you know, originally that wasn't the case, and now we know, and you know, but we still have to get people here.
Well, you know, but on camera, you know, FC Dallas games look way more empty than Chicago Fire.
Yeah, way more. Yeah, they have dramatic. A much more of an issue. But I don't know where you live, and I don't know if you necessarily want to say that on the podcast. But are you closer to the Central City? What's the experience like for you to get to the stadium?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Right now I'm living in the burbs. I'm moving to the city, so I've experienced it both ways. I live in a northwest burb where my wife's family lives right now, and it's about 30 minutes to get to the stadium on a weekend.
Terrible.
Not bad. And then the other day I was at the condo that I'm in the process of buying right now. And I went straight from the inspection to the stadium during the middle of the week. And it took me about 35 minutes. So, and that was from the north side of the city. It's definitely a farther drive if you live on the north side, where a lot of younger people live. You know, people maybe the further north you go, maybe closer to my age in the early 30s, late 20s. The south side, people that live on the south side, it's a much, much easier commute. I would say I'd put it closer to like 20 minutes on a weekend.
That's but this is all driving.
Yeah, the main thing you
it's
need
all,
to drive.
But it's all driving. It's yeah, all yeah. driving. So
too bad they know, can't sign a deal with like Uber or something.
Beers, you know, it's tougher.
You maybe they could sign a deal with Uber in the neighborhood or Lyft, you know, to, if they have like tickets to the game or season tickets. I don't know, just a marketing idea that the us the Cooligans are throwing out there for you.
Comedians.
No, I think another easy option for people, and again, I think, you know, I speak like I would know the political, you know, the political waters you have to navigate through in any city are crazy, but like I said, right now there's an L train that goes from downtown all the way out to Midway Airport, and the stadium is about, I don't know, like a 8 to 10 minute drive from Midway. And so some people take the L all the way out there and then take an Uber, or they have the Fire send buses to that L station to bring people from the L to the stadium. You know, so that's another way people can get out there. But I do think, you know, I'm sure, and I can't actually speak for the club whether they've explored this, but I was chatting with my brother who was visiting this past weekend as we drove out to the game, and I thought it would be interesting to see if you could put the investment into extending a train line. But I don't know. I mean, shoot, I remember freaking being in D.C. and seeing how long it took to build out the Silver Line to Dulles Airport. So, you know, that's a big project.
Well, the main thing is every Chicago Fire fan, please tweet your congressman.
Right. It's Chicago. Could you just send them an envelope with some cash? And yeah. That's how Chicago works. We're from New York. We get it. They're trying to build a stadium out here. You have any idea how many palms have to be greased? I guess, listen, this has been an absolute amazing conversation. But I guess final, if we had anything that we could ask you, do you think the Chicago Fire make the playoffs this season?
You know, I think it's too late in the year. I think it's a little bit tough. I do think that they're going to put themselves in the conversation in the final couple of weeks. And to me, I think that's important for them. I think they need to get into that race with Orlando and DC and be in the mix for that last spot, and New England for that matter. And I do think that's a possibility. But after watching Orlando City up close last year, working at the Sentinel, they kind of left things down to the last five or six games of the season. They won five in a row and ended up missing out on the playoffs in the final week of the season. And I think it would have to be a similar situation for the Fire right now. So I think it's a little bit too late.
Well, I mean, let's hope that they can make a strong push just for the fans. And as an NYCFC fan, I mean, don't care if you make it or don't, but it's good for the fans of Chicago. You know, I thought last year we were going to get a chance to win the MLS Cup and be the second team to win it in their inaugural season, which I know you guys did.
I'll say this. I'll say, you know, I think it might be too late. MLS has seen crazier things happen.
That's
and
true.
The fact of the matter is the Fire won the other night 3-0. They've got two home games in a row now left, Toronto and then DC. If they win those two games and they come out of that 3-game home stretch with 9 points, they are right back in it. And the odds of being able to make a run and get into the playoffs get much better. So if we did this call again in another 2 weeks and they had 6 more points, You might get a different answer from me, and that's just the way MLS works.
Yeah, well, we're just gonna get a voicemail from Paul. Just screaming, you losers! Yeah. We did it.
I hope they make the playoffs, because then you know you're buying a condo. You just said. I mean, you could use that little bit of extra scratch, right?
Well, listen, when I'm getting harassed on Twitter for saying they're not gonna make the playoffs, and I get the evil eye from guys out of the stadium, then I'll probably have to leave you some voicemails. You let me throw under the bus. What were you doing?
Yeah. Oh, not a problem. We're happy that you did. We're gonna talk about it a lot on social media. Is there anything that you want people to follow you or read you on?
Yeah, you can always find me on Twitter at Paul Tenorio, and obviously, you know, doing a lot of work working for 442 USA, and I really encourage people to follow at 442 USA as well. I'm really proud of the work we've done on that site in less than a year now of being around and trying to provide as much daily MLS and US coverage as we can.
Absolutely. And that's spelled out 442, not the numbers.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's 442 USA, did you say?
Yeah, the Twitter is 442 USA. And you can also get to it just 442.com/US takes you directly to the American coverage.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul.
Paul, thank you so much. That was great.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right. And for everyone listening, we'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, this is Christian of the Cooligans, and I want to talk to you about Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes some of the best underwear you will ever wear in your life. It's incredibly comfortable. It is antimicrobial, so it won't be stinky, all right? All our Cooligans fans will get 20% off if you use the code word Cooligans at MackWeldon.com. I play soccer. I play in a Sunday league. I wear these underwear. And when you play a couple games of soccer, you tend to smell a little bit. All right. It doesn't smell too. The hamper is not very happy with you after you throw it in there. But this underwear, I promise you, it has some magic repelling powers. It will not smell up your apartment, your home, your mother's basement, wherever you throw your underwear. It is great. So make sure you go to MackWeldon.com and put the promo code Cooligans for 20% off. Our fans, do that. Please do that. Go to MackWeldon.com and use that promo code Cooligans. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, baby. Cooligans Corner.
Cooligans Corner.
Hey, before we start, somebody won a t-shirt.
They did.
Yeah.
We had a little contest going on.
Just a little. You might have seen it on Instagram.
Yeah, it was on Instagram.
Us and On the Volley Apparel.
On the Volley Apparel, who have big supporters of the show.
Absolutely.
Go to onthevolleyapparel.com and you can buy clothing, soccer-inspired clothing. They make fly gear.
Absolutely. But they offered up a free t-shirt to somebody who won.
Mm-hmm.
So we put it all in a spreadsheet, all the people that posted.
Yeah, we put it in like a giant database. It was a big server room.
It was actually just one of those circular things like you see at a lotto, you know, when you go play bingo with your grandmother.
That's right.
And we spun it around and we picked out a name and Kevin wins.
Kevin Mott.
Yeah, well, we don't know if it's Mott.
We don't know his last name, but
at KevMott18.
At KevMott18. Congratulations.
At KevMott18.
You won the On the Valley Apparel Cooligans contest.
Now, if you look at his Instagram, you will notice that he's a little different than we are in the sense that he's a Red Bulls fan.
That's right.
And we are very loud and proud NYCFC fans. But that did not stop us.
That did not stop us.
I will not lie. At one moment, I was like, maybe we should pick a different. But we will honor it. And also, he's a fan of ours. And, you know, just it seems like a nice guy. So you win the t-shirt. Wear it loud. Wear it proud. Because you know what? On the Valley Apparel is for everyone, not just NYCFC.
Congrats, Kevin. Thank you for supporting the show. And
we'll hit you up from Instagram and we'll connect you with On the Volley so you can pick out which of the three shirts you'd like.
That's right. So, and if you are ever interested in participating in contests like that, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms because we're always doing different contests with, different makers and people who make stuff, cool soccer stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say how you landed that plane, but you did it very nicely. So again, on everything, we're at Soccer Cooligans, pretty much on everything.
All right.
But this is Cooligans Corner, so we've got some news.
Let's get to it. We had a bit of a break last week. We had an episode, but it was a special episode, the Women's Day special. So that one, we did not record a podcast last week. So, but this is what happened since we recorded that episode. Hope Solo has been suspended and had her contract terminated with U.S. Soccer. She is no
longer affiliated with U.S. soccer.
I mean, there's a lot of people that say, like, after the 6 months, they can reinstate the contract and things like that. But
why? The interesting thing is that she can be suspended, but it's the contract termination that is the thing that took everybody by surprise.
Also, then why suspend her? Just terminate the contract.
Exactly. Well, I guess you can't do one without the other.
You're not allowed to have half an hour lunches. You know, also, you're fired. It's like, well, then who gives a shit how long my lunches are? You know, from now on,
yeah,
can't do an hour lunch. Also, you're fired. It's like, well, then what the fuck did you waste that first part for? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, what a terrible HR department.
Yeah. So if you're saying, like, even if you were to renegotiate with, you know, women's soccer, the U.S. women's soccer, whatever department division, use for 6 months, you can't. Then maybe that makes sense. But then why terminate the contract? Just suspend it for 6 months. It seems like a lot of back and forth, and it seems like they're trying to use her as an example. And, you know, let's hope Megan Rapinoe survives.
I know, right?
She's doing the whole kneeling down, which, hey, you know, look, dude, I mean, this is part of what this country's for, is for you to be able to protest. I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit surprising because Hope Solo is still the best goalkeeper in women's soccer.
And she's up there in age, too, so.
She is older, but she still has some time left. I mean.
Yeah, no, keepers are good for a while, yeah. But, I mean, this is probably like a nice break for her anyway.
Well, it appears, you know, after the Olympics and after her comment about Sweden, about calling them cowards, right. it appears that for the U.S. Soccer Federation and Sunil Gulati, they sort of had enough.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, and there's been a couple theories that I've read about why she may have why they were so harsh with her.
Right.
And one of them, which I don't know how accurate or legitimate it is. Who knows the exact reason? Well, you know what made them what led them to this decision. But some people are saying that the fight for equal pay is the reason that why they were so harsh with her.
I 100% agree that and feel that's part of the why they're coming down so hard. It's like, oh, you just sued us.
Yeah.
Now let's get you back. Uh-huh. And look, I would do the same thing. I would be the exact same. I mean, I'm vindictive as hell.
Yeah, and I think because of her comments, no one could really defend her anymore. Like you know, Sunil Gulati can make this excuse. Like, this is the reason we're letting her go. She's been too much of a distraction.
Right, it's like you all saw it.
So, like, it's like not a terrible PR move because she did something, you know, she committed a faux pas.
Yeah, I see that. I could see that. I could see that being the case. And you know what? To be honest, I mean, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We need people like her in the sport, you know? And I kind of hope she decides to, you know, that she decides to just go solo and become like, I had to do it. I hope she becomes a commentator and, you know, she gets hired by like a B in sport or something. And she could just be as outlandish and wild as she wants. Be the female, slightly drunk Rae Hudson. We need that.
Well, she is also the goalkeeper for the Seattle Reign in the NWSL. And
I think they canceled her contract.
No. She decided not to play. She's not going. She can play,
right? Her contract, but her money is paid, as Evan told us last week, by the federation. Yeah. So how the hell can she still play?
That's a good question. Yeah. I guess there must have been some stipulation where she was still allowed to play. But apparently, obviously, I think if she doesn't play, I think she still gets paid. That's my presumption. Why wouldn't she play?
Because contract's terminated. She doesn't have a contract.
But she can still play for her club.
No, because that was under her national team contract.
Maybe. I don't know. What I've read is that she made the decision to not play for Seattle for the rest of the season.
But then back to my getting fired analogy, that's like the person who got fired going, you know what? Then I'm not coming into work. It's like, of course you're not. You're fired. But if you do come into work, you can't take an hour-long lunch.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have to like look into the details of why why was it such a simple decision to not go back to your club? But that's also, yeah, I still feel like that's a bit of a bummer to the fans of the Seattle Reign. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. 100%. They didn't do anything. They're like, we didn't go on about a coward.
Exactly. So,
except the Portland Thorn fans.
You know, there is a little bit of, I get the obligation to your country, and if your country may have slighted you in some way, you're still, your club is still, you know, obviously not the main source of income, but it's still important. And she's such an important player to the NWSL that not having her there is, can really hurt the league.
That's all. For sure. It definitely hurts the league. What else is going on out there?
Nigel De Jong is literally going out. He is out.
He's breaking ankles in another country.
I think basically he just committed a murder and now he's
trying to escape. Yeah, he doesn't want to be extradited back
hoodie,
into the
sunglasses, fake mustache.
Nigel De Jong is sold
to Galatasaray.
Galatasaray in Turkey.
Yeah,
he is. He has left the LA Galaxy after 20 something, yeah. 20 so or so matches.
2/3 of a season.
Yeah, and
which was like a great preseason training for him. You know,
yeah.
Now he goes to Galatasaray.
This is the warm up for going to Turkey.
I'm happy he's gone. You know, he seemed like he didn't play all that well.
No goals, no assists.
I mean, it wasn't really that's not his style either. But like, you know, I mean, the guy was a danger to all the players out there. So good. Happy he's gone. Be gone.
It almost like they removed him out of like a, you know how buildings have like building policy where you're not allowed to have asbestos in the walls. Otherwise it cannot be built. It was like one of those, no Nigel De Jong's allowed within this premises because it is a danger to everyone.
He got removed like they found lead in a school, in school paint. They're like, we got to get everybody out of here real quick. We're going to take this out.
So yeah, look, we got to see him play, you know, when he was here in New York just a couple weeks ago. When he got there, I didn't know too much about him. I know he played for the Netherlands, saw him a couple times. What was interesting was Bruce Arena's comments after he was sold, because you have to like kind of justify it to some degree of why he was even there at all.
Right.
And he did I'm paraphrasing, but he said like most people in America are not educated enough to understand what Nigel De Jong does, which is he's just a violent man. I mean, I think you could put a hockey player.
Yeah, there's a couple guys in general population at Rikers Island who are like, no, we get it. He does the same thing we do.
Look, he's a presence. I don't really feel like he was that much of a contribution, you know. Like
I got to be honest, I don't think people feared going to his side either.
Yeah, he was. It's not like he's like the most athletic of players or anything like that. And as a defensive midfielder, you know, he would probably have the ball a lot, it's not like he made the best sort of decisions. Like we see Andoni Iraola on NYCFC. That defensive midfield role, and you know, it doesn't even necessarily require someone who's extremely like aggressive. It's good, but that's what you sort of have center backs for. It's more about your spacing and positioning and knowing where to be and
making. Which he was very good at, but I mean, it's not like he was. I don't think he's going to be that badly missed. LA Galaxy season is going to fall apart because Nigel De Jong is missing.
But at the very least, like at least they'll have 11 players on the pitch.
Less red cards.
Less red cards.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, El Salvador in CONCACAF. El Salvador is in.
That's Forza CONCACAF.
I thought it was CONMEBOL for a second. But no, El Salvador in CONCACAF. They are obviously we're in the international break and they're playing their World Cup qualifiers.
Trying to get out of that group. They're in the last place. Doesn't look like
they're not. El Salvador is not, you know, they're 154, right above St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I have no idea if that's correct. Yeah. But we know they're not the strongest side.
No, and they are in the last place in the group, so not going to happen.
But there was a new story that came out about El Salvador being offered money to basically influence the match.
They actually played they recorded this guy offering the money, and they played it at the end of their press conference.
Which is what like sports theater. How great is that?
I mean, this is soccer. This is why people are like, why should I get into soccer? Just who would have thought to listen to an El Salvador press conference?
Because it would have been, imagine if like, you know, during the Tom Brady Deflategate, if like one of the ball boys, if they had a voicemail that was just like, hey,
This is Tommy B.
Can you deflate the ball?
Don't tell the commissioner.
Just like,
I don't know
why
he has this accent. Don't tell the commissioner, but I need those balls deflated.
That's how Tom Brady talks when he's like committing a crime.
Hey, Giselle, get out of the room. I'm doing something illegal here. He just completely. It's just so. It's like a Bobby Shmurda track. He's just putting himself in jail.
But it's so strange because you usually never have like that hard of evidence, you know, to like accuse anybody of anything.
But also, it's not really match fixing. He's paying them to win. That's not how match fixing works.
He wanted to influence the goal differential because he wanted this person wanted. He was like a gambler or a shark or whatever.
He's a gambler who knows some of the players, which immediately I beg the question.
Yeah.
Why are y'all such friends with a gambler, man?
Yeah, you defriend these people on Facebook pretty fast.
No, homie, that you ignore these people. They should be coming up in the other message box, or the other inbox.
That's our filtered messages.
That's right. Come on now. Like, so he was like, oh, he offered them $30 a minute of the game each to win.
That's, yeah.
20 if they draw, 10 if they only lose by one.
But it also seems like a very small sum of money.
I mean, $30,000 if you're from El Salvador, that's pretty good. Per player, that's for that guy, that's a big nut.
Okay.
But it seems to me like this guy was just trying to set up a bet. You know what I mean? Like, and also the rumor is that he's trying to help Honduras because he wants Honduras to get in. This guy is trying to, so that's, if El Salvador loses, it could stop Honduras from being able to get in. It doesn't look like El Salvador is going to win, but, you know, it's a toss-up. Long story short, paying somebody to win, that's a bonus. That's not match fixing.
It is.
Point shaving, not... point letting your beard grow. You know what I mean?
It's not match fixing, but it is. There's no way to. It's still not okay. I mean, it's unethical.
100% wrong, illegal. Yes, but it's not match fixing.
It is not. It isn't match fixing. But so it is. It almost suggests that the reason that he was like ratted on. Mm-hmm. Almost seemed like it just like maybe wasn't enough money.
Yeah.
To like,
come on, player.
You seem like a better person by saying something, and you seem like, oh, that you're like altruistic and you really believe in the game and in fairness.
It's like you tell your girl, like, you see that big girl over there? She just flirted with me. Go get her. You know? I was like, that's not going to affect you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So it's almost like, oh, we gotta say something and talk about this. But if it was like 15K per player now.
Yeah, we wouldn't have heard about it.
We wouldn't have heard about it.
Like, I can't believe El Salvador won by 8 goals. Wow. El Salvador, where have you been hiding it this whole time?
All this energy, yeah.
Top of the group. How did that happen?
But yeah, that is, it's still a scary thing for a lot of people, you know, because match fixing is like a reality. And we know how, easily corruptible FIFA is. You know, I think I think for a lot of people, the most surprising thing was like the match fixing wasn't directly from FIFA.
Yeah, although we don't know who this gambler is. It could be Jack Warner in, like, you know, those fake sunglasses with the nose and the mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
Could that be Jack Warner or Chuck Blazer doing it via fax machine?
Yeah.
It's shocking, not really, but it's so funny. Like, when you hear about it, you're like, oh my God. But then you're like, yeah, no, it's soccer.
Well, yeah,
this is what happens in soccer.
Yeah.
I wish they would add this to FIFA. That would be fun.
Oh, the actual game, yeah.
Yeah, like you're playing in career mode and someone comes up to you and is like, hey, dude. I know you're making your debut.
Come out of the shadows.
For the senior.
You only see his eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like the Unabombers sketch. He's just... look, I know you're about to make your debut for the senior team, but I got a whole bag full of money. If you only lose by one, it's such an odd. I'd love to see that. That'd be fun. Well, I bet your PES needs to do that because no one's playing Pro Evolution Soccer.
I haven't played that. That there was one year that it was pretty good. And then
I think it's better than FIFA now, but no one plays it because of the online and they don't have any of the team names. I love Arsenal. I'm not a big fan of North London Football Club. So.
Very strong side that North London, you know, and they still don't buy any players that North London.
But they are Barcelona's partner for some strange reason. So they have like the best views of Barcelona players. They look mad real. Everyone else looks like, you know, Joey Barton. Everyone else.
Well, all right, guys, that's it. That was
another great episode.
Another great episode in the books. Just a couple things. Make sure you watch the Trump video. Make sure
like and share and retweet or whatever you got to do.
Make sure you support Mac Weldon because by supporting Mac Weldon, you are supporting the Cooligans. Make sure you buy some stuff from there and use our discount code.
Yes, please do. Listen, buy a pair of underwear.
It's
anything. This is honestly, like, you guys are always asking us how you can help the podcast. What can you do? This is it. This is the moment. They're doing a test with us just for the month of September. So if we can produce some of our fans to buy from them, that would be huge. It would go a long way towards them becoming our stable sponsor, which would be amazing because we've been doing this for free for a long time. And, you know, a little bit of scratch here and there certainly helps.
Exactly.
So we love Mack Weldon. They've sent us some stuff. You've heard the messages already. You've heard the breaks. But it's we love it, and we think you will too. Again, Mack Weldon, MackWeldon. Mack Weldon. Right. Get out there. If you've heard it on other podcasts, forget their promo codes, ours. And you know what? While you're sharing the Trump video, why don't you go ahead and put in a little note about Mack Weldon in there and give them the promo code, and hopefully they'll go out and buy, you know, just a little bit of underwear.
Yeah, I'm wearing it now and it feels very, very comfy.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody knows how, you know, how my undercarriage is doing, yeah, it's doing pretty good. It's in Mack Weldon's hands.
Yeah. We've all wanted it there. Well, listen, you've listened to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian.
We had a lot of fun, and you've listened to yet another episode of The
Cooligans.